Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem Vav. We begin at the Mishnah about 10 lines down. We're learning today, Le'ili Nishmas, Blima Feder, Blima Bas Yaakov. All the Nishamas we learn for 7 Aliyah. We begin with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Shover Odom Esechovis Lechol Hemena Grogroros. A person is allowed to break open a barrel on Shabbos in order to eat inside of it the dried figs. Grogros are dried figs. Rashi explains that this is Malaya Grogros. It's filled up over here with these dried figs inside, and he's going to open it with Besakin or Besayif, with some sort of a knife or some sort of a sword. Lechol Hemena Grogros, to cut up the Grogros from inside of it. Dein B'miskalkel Shum Iser B'Shabbos. And by destroying this barrel, there is no problem because kilkel on Shabbos for a non-constructive purpose is allowed. However, the Mishnah says, Uvad shall yiskavin lasos kli. But his intention cannot be to make this now into a kli. But he cuts off the top of the barrel, he's going to have a kli, so that's not allowed. Rashi explains, Lenok vayofe bepesach noah. If he makes it into a beautiful, nice opening on the top, so then he's making it into a kli, that would not be allowed. But just to chop it off, so that he would be allowed to do. Furthermore, the Mishnah says, "Ve'enokvin megufa shelchavis." He likewise now allowed to go and make a perforation, a hole in the megufa shelchavis. This is the cover of the barrel. Rashi explains, "You now allowed to make such a hole. This is a connected hadvuka bepeh or bepiach chavis lasus nekiv." You now allowed to go make a hole in this cover. However, elanotel is cooler. You're allowed to take the cover off. Avoki nokov lo masakim pischa. But if it already has a hole in it, then you're not considered making a Pesach over here. It's not called making a new hole. So, v'einok v'magufa shelchavis, the Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda says that you're not allowed to go make a new hole in it. V'chacham matir, but the Chacham say you are allowed to make a hole in it. As Rashi explains, the ein derech Pesach l'chavis b'kach, because that's not the normal way that you make a hole in such a barrel. If you wanted to, you would just take off the cap. So, therefore, you're allowed to go and make a hole in it. However, Kuli Alma, everybody agrees, Lo Yikvena Bitsido, you're now allowed to go make the hole on the side of the cask of this barrel. Now, Vimhoisa Nakuva, and if there is a hole there, Lo Yitena Leo Shava, you're now allowed to go put wax in it to plug it up. The reason the Mishnah says, Vibne Shum Mimareach, because in this situation, you would be over the Issa Mimareach. Rashi says, Yesh Kami Shum Mimachik, you're going to smooth in the wax in the hole, and that's going to be an Issa Daraisa of Mimachik, Mimareach. Amr Yehuda, Maisabol of Nehru Yochanan Zakeh B'Arav. Rav Yochanan Zakeh was asked this question in Arav. We had, it says on the side, you look on Daf Kuf Chafal. If we had another question that they asked of Yochanan Zakeh when he was in Arav, he was there for 18 years, he was there for a long period of time. They didn't ask him a lot of questions. He was not impressed with the people living in this place. It's the name of a place, Shem Makom, in Arav. And anyway, Ba'amar, he said to the people, if you do this, Choshishani Lo Mechatos. If somebody did this, I'm concerned that this is over in Issa D'Raisa of Memachik, Memarik, and a person might do this, he'd be Chayev Achatos. Amr Vashaya, Vashaya said, Loshanuela Drusos, on Mishnah, when it said that you're allowed to go and break open this barrel, Shover Odom Es HaChavis, you're allowed to break open the barrel, he only said this if you're dealing over here with Drusos, which are tightly compressed, pressed figs. As Rashi explains, Shagrogros Drusos Be'igo, they're pressed into a cake of figs, and therefore, V'chot Chimimenu Be'kardom O Be'sayiv, you would take an axe or a sword and cut out the Grogros from this caked figs, and therefore you're allowed to go and chop open this barrel. Abo mifurados, but if they're isolated figs inside this barrel that you don't need a knife or a sword to go and take them out, well, then you wouldn't be allowed to use the knife or the sword to open up the barrel. Shmuel says, why not? Abo mifurados lo, you're not allowed to go and open up the barrel if the figs inside are mifurados, but it says beferish that you're allowed to. Mesa, it says in the Brisa, Rishum Melil Omer, maybe other Mesechov Shoyai, and a person allowed to take a barrel of wine, umetiz rosha besayv, and chop off the top of the barrel with some sort of a sword, umenichlev ne archam Shabbos, and give it to your guests on Shabbos. Veno choshesh, and there is no problem that you are over Issa Shabbos in doing so. So you are allowed to take a sword and chop off the top. So how come Rav Hoshaya said you're not allowed to take the sword and chop off the top if there are mifurados, if they're individual figs, they're not a caked fig? So what's the difference between the Braisa or Rishon Galil saying you're allowed to and Rav Hoshaya saying you're not allowed to? Gemara says, depends. Hi, Rabbanon, this Braisa, which Rishon Galil says you're allowed to do this, goes according to the opinion of the Chachamim. Well, that you're allowed to use a kli for any purpose on Shabbos, even not its designated purpose. And therefore, you can take this sword, which is normally not used for Shabbos-like purposes, but here you're using it to go and chop open the barrel, so you're allowed to use it. Kli shem lach to lisa, you're allowed to use it. So, kufu mekomo. The Mishnah is, however, Masnitzin Rabbi Nechem Yehi. That's the very, very strict opinion. We'll be more familiar with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't really hold for Muktzah, except for like Grogros and Smukin, as we've learned. And you have the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that it's much more Machmir in terms of he holds for Muktzah. And then you have the most machmir opinion, that's the opinion of Nechemiah, which we mentioned earlier in the Masechta, that says you're only allowed to use a kli for the exact purpose that kli is used for. So, for example, you can use a knife only for cutting, but you can't use a knife to go and open up a barrel. So you can use a sword only for something that the sword is supposed to be used for, which is very limited uses on Shabbos. Therefore, you can't use the sword to chop open the top of the barrel. So therefore, our Mishnah is the opinion of Nechemiah. And this Braisa, Rav Shimon Gamliel, that was the opinion of the Chachamim. Where it says, so how come Rav Hoshaya seemed to force our Mishnah to go within the opinion of Nechemiah? Why not just leave it as a more general statement? Why did Rav Hoshaya try to make our Mishnah go like Rav Nechemiah and say that it's only talking about Drusos but not Mefurados? Bedrusos, Lok Mefurados, Rabbanon. So say, our Mishnah is talking about Mefurados and it's going like the opinion of the Chachamim. Why is he so requiring to make our Mishnah go only like the Das Yochid of Rav Nechemiah? So Gemara says, Amar Rav, Rav explains, no, Masnisa Kishisa, he was bothered by our Mishnah. Why did our Mishnah Badavka talk about that it's talking about a barrel that has inside of it grogros? Liste peros. My ear did tani grogros, liste peros. Don't tell me grogros, say fruits, and then apples would be fine, and then I would know. Oh, it mentioned grogros because it wanted to tell us specifically that by grogros there's a difference between caked, the pressed figs, and loose figs. And that's why it specifically mentioned grogros. So that's why Rav Hoshaya felt that it wasn't a dochak. He had to make our Mishnah go because our Mishnah specifically is talking about grogros. Why was he telling us a grogros? Ah, the difference between drusos and frados. And that's only according to Rav Nechemiah. Morris says, Tanya Chod, the one Bryce says, chosolos. What are chosolos? So Rashi tells us that chosolos are kli shel kapos tomorrow. These are like wicker baskets made of the reeds of a date palm. But osin can mean salam. You make them into a basket, like a wicker basket. And then they would put inside of it tomorrow roim, these lousy dates, lizbashel, and they would mature. They would take them off the tree. They weren't maturing on the tree, and they would put them into these baskets, and they would mature in the baskets. They would finish their ripening process. So if you have these chosolos shel grogros, you have these chosolos shel either dried figs or shel tamarim or from dates. So matir, you're allowed to go, Rashi explains, if they have some sort of a kisui on the top that's tied down with a rope, so you're allowed to untie that rope. And likewise, umavkia, you could unravel the rope, or v'chotich, you could cut the rope. Any of these would be acceptable to get to the grogros or the tamarim inside. But we have another Rashi says otherwise, v'tani idach. Another bride says the exact opposite. Okay, you can untie them. That you're allowed to do it because you need to get to the food inside. Avalomav kia, you're not allowed to unravel it. Lo chotech, and you're not allowed to cut it. So how come? So Gemara says, lo kasha, that's not a problem. One bride says the opinion of the Rabbanon. Ha Rabbanon, ha Rav Nechemiah. Rav Nechemiah says, you can't use a knife to go and cut it. You can use a knife to cut meat. You can use a knife for food. But you can't use a knife to go cut a rope. So the Braisa that says, lo mafkia, lo chotech, that goes like Rav Nechemiah. And the first Braisa that says, if you want to, you can be mafkia, you can be chotech it, you can untie it, that goes like the Rabbanon. Very good. The Tanya, and I'll show you that this is in fact true, because within the Braisa, Rav Nechemiah Omer, Rav Nechemiah is very, very makbid on muktzah. Afilu tarvat, a tarvat is a spoon, afilu talis, or a garment, afilu sakin, or a knife. You're only allowed to use them any talin el letzorach tashmishan. You're only allowed to use them for the normal usage, but not for any other usage, even though it's going to be a permissible Shabbos usage. No, this kli, the rabbis were very strict and said, if we're allowed to use kalim for things other than their regular purpose, before you know it, Shabbos is going to be desecrated. So therefore, Rav Nechemiah is the most machmir position on muktzah. The Chachamim / Rav Yehuda is a more meiko, but still a machmir position. And the most meiko opinion is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who really doesn't hold for muktzah except for like grogros and smukin. Nadi Gemara says, Bo mi nemi Rav Sheshes. There's the following shalom from Rav Sheshes. Mahu, are you allowed to do the following? Lemivraz chovisa, to go and make a hole. Rashi says, lemivraz means lischov, to go and puncture it, to make a hole in it, in this barrel, lemivraz chavitza, to make a hole in the barrel, biburtia bishabsa, to use this thing called a bortia, actually there's a romach, a spear, to make a hole, letotchovo bidofene linkov, to go and puncture it with this spear. Are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? That's what they asked Rosh Hashanah. You have a barrel here with wine inside of it, can you go make a hole in it with a spear? So Gemara says, what's the purpose? Are you doing it to make an opening in there? So you're making an opening. That's not allowed. You're making an opening in a barrel. So therefore, it would be osir. Or do we say, no, odilma? You already have an opening. And all you're doing here is la'ayin yofa. You want to make sure that the people can have a lot of wine. As Rashi says, la'harchiv motzi hayayin. This way, the wine will come pouring out. B'nekiv gadol. And midalo nokiv le'kederich hanokvim. Nekiv agul v'yofa. And this is clearly doing this for ayin yofa, not just to make an opening in it, because if you really want to make an opening in it, you would make a nice, small, round, circular opening. So from the fact that he's doing it in this abnormal way, he's showing he wants to be just very magnanimous and generous with the wine, and therefore he's not really doing it to make a Pesach in it. That was the question they asked Rosheshes. He responded, Amalahu. He told the people to ask the question, Lepisko Kamakavi. No, this guy's doing it to open up the barrel, and therefore, Basir. And it's not allowed. You're not allowed to make an opening in the barrel on Shabbos. More questions, as it says, Meisvei, Rav Shimon Gamliel just taught us in the Brisa. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, maybe Odom Chavish Al Yayin, you'll have to take a barrel of wine, Umatiz Rosha Besayef, and chop off the top of the barrel with a sword, and get to the wine. So why can't you puncture? What's the difference between puncturing it on the side with a spear, or chopping off the top with a sword? Gemara says, no, very simple difference. Hossam, the Gemara says, Vadel Ayin Yofa Komakavin. In the sword situation, there's a cover on it, and instead he chose to bypass the cover, and instead of just removing the cover, he made a big chopping of the entire top off, not just the cover, just the entire top. So therefore, he had an easy answer. If you wanted to just make an opening, just take off the cover. From the fact that he did it in this very generous way, so only there does it demonstrate that he's doing it by inyofa. He just wants to have a nice big opening, but not that he's making an opening. If he had an opening already, just take off the cover. However, here in the spear case, there also is a cap on it. If he wanted to go and be very generous, so then just take off the opening. Limtuche miftach, as Rashi says, go here and yito magufasa, go take off the cover, and then you'll give it to them in a nice, generous way. Not, it's much more generous that way than making a hole with a spear. So since he made a hole with a spear, he obviously wanted to leave the cap on, and he wanted to make a hole. Oh, that you're not allowed to do. That's why there's a difference over here. Rosh Hashanah says, in this situation with the spear, he's intending to make an opening, and therefore it's not allowed. Then we quote the next part of the Mishnah, which says, "A nokvi magufa v'chule." You're not allowed to make a hole in the cover of this barrel. That was the opinion of the Tanakama and the Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, rather, and the Chacham Matir, and the Chacham said you're allowed to. What's going on? So Gemara says, "Amar Rav Huna machlokis lamala." Depends where you're making this hole. The machlokis is that Rabbi Yehuda says, you're not allowed to make a hole in the cover, and the Chacham said you're allowed to. That's talking about when you're dealing with lamala. When on the top of the cover you're making the hole. Abu ben Atzad, but if you're doing it on the side, so divrei akol also, then everybody say it's also because you're making a hole. You're not allowed to do that. Behind diktani, and that's what the Mishnah then says. Lo yikvena mitzida. Everybody agrees the kuliyami, you're not allowed to make the hole on the side. But that's the opinion of Rav Huna. Rav Chista says, no, that's the incorrect way to understand the Mishnah. Rav Chista amar machlokis min atzad. In fact, the machlokis is to make the hole on the side of the cover. There, Rav Yehuda says you're not allowed to do this, and the Chacham say you're allowed to. But aval agaba tiberi kol mutter. But if you're doing it on the top, so then everybody says the kuliyami, you're allowed to do this. I've heard the tani loy kvena mitzida. It says you're not allowed to do it on the side. That seems to imply hasam begufa the chavis. That's not in the cover. That's in the barrel itself. Begufa the chavis. So that's where the machlokus is. But Ruchis says on the top, the kuliyami, you're allowed to do it. So the bottom line is nobody allows you to make a hole in the side of the barrel. That was the kuliyami. Tani rabban. The Gemara brings down the following brisa. Ain't no kuneket chodesh b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to make a new hole in a barrel on Shabbos. V'yibala hosif, but the Tanakhama says that if you want to add onto an already existing hole, that you're allowed to do. Most if you can add on Shabbos. Make it larger is allowed. However, he brings down the Yeshomim ain't mosifim. Then there's another opinion that says, no, even if you have a hole, you're not allowed to make it larger. And everybody agrees with Shavin, shenok v'yuneket v'yoshin l'chadchila. If there was a hole previously, and it's an old hole, then you're allowed to reopen it l'chatchila on Shabbos. So the Tanakhama said that you're allowed to go and add on to a hole, but you're not allowed to go make a new hole. So the Tanakhama says, Maishno minekev chadosh loho, you're not allowed to make a new hole, the komisaki in Pisco, because that's called making a hole. So how come he says you're allowed to add on? After all, if you're not allowed to be misakin a new Pesach, because that's called misakin pischa, so usufi nami kol miskavin pischa. So then, when widening or enlarging an already existing hole, that's also called misakin mona, misakin pischa. So Gemara answers, Amar Rabba, technically, Dvar Torah kol Pesach she'eno osu lahaknis, an opening on Shabbos that can't allow the item to go in. It just allows something to come out. A hole will allow stuff to come out if it's a smaller hole, but may not allow stuff to go in. We had this previously in the Masechta. So in regards to Hilchos Shabbos, if you're making a hole that only allows stuff to come out but doesn't allow stuff to go in, that's technically not called making a hole. Eino Pesach. Our Torah called Pesach, she also lahachlin solhotzi. It has to be able to go in and to go out. Otherwise, it's not called the Pesach that you're over in Issa the Rice on Shabbos. Oh, the rabbi said, Rabbanu degozu mishum lul shel tarnagolet. But the rabbi said in this situation that if we allow you to go make a hole that only allows things to come out but doesn't allow things to go in, so then people are going to mistakenly think that you can make a hole in a chicken coop. They don't realize that the hole in a chicken coop is also for the purposes of going in and going out. The avid layule avira, it allows air to come inside so the chickens can breathe. They won't die from the overpowering smell. Ulafuki havla, and also to take any of the dangerous atmosphere out, the very, very foul-smelling fumes that are in there that could be deleterious to the humans or the animals in there, to the chickens, so it allows it to come out. So therefore, if a person says, woo, I guess you're allowed to go make a hole that only lets things out, but as long as it's not big enough to let things in, it's okay. And they're not going to realize that if you make a hole in a barrel, that that can be a hole that is going to allow in and out. So you're going to mistakenly think that you can do this in the chicken coop as well. So along came the rabbis. So the rabbi said, you can't go make a hole in a barrel. Technically, it would be no problem because it would not be an issa d'oraisa. But since the rabbi said we have to make a gzeira over here, because if we allow you to do this in the barrel, you may come to do this in the chicken coop. And in the chicken coop, the ovid la yuli aviru la fuki havla, because it would take in and take out, so there wouldn't be a problem. So that's why we don't let you go and make the hole on the side. But in bala hosif mosif, but if you're going to come and add on to an already existing hole, Tanakhama says no problem, because what's your concern? Gzeira? The whole thing is gzeira? You may come to do this by a chicken coop. In bala hosif mosif, osufe vadai, by a chicken coop, nobody's going to go and do this. But lushal tarnagolum lo osil asufe, then by a chicken coop, nobody's going to go and make it larger. Why not? Mishom richsha. Rashi says, Shelo yukanis bo sherets. Certain sherets aren't going to go in there. Kamo nemiya v'chulda, like various types of predatory creatures, like rats and weasels. So these are going to, if you make a hole that's too wide, they're going to come in and they're going to kill the chickens. Shelo yukanis as a tarnagolim. So therefore, nobody would do this. And therefore, there's no chashash. On the side, it brings down that Rashi elsewhere says that these Nemiya and Chulda are technically Chayos, not Shrotzim, but in any event, it means small predatory creatures that would come in through these small holes, and therefore we don't have any concern that the person will make it wider. And that's why the rabbis were not making Gezerah for Osufe, but they made Gezerah to make the hole in the first place. So that solves the Tanakama. But then we said, V'yeshomim ein Mosifim, according to the opinion that says you're not allowed to add on, so Zimnim de lo takne mikara. You know what? People aren't going to make, they are concerned that you're going to add on to it because maybe you didn't make the hole in the right place in the chicken coop. The lo takne meikara. And therefore, va'asi larvuche bay, and you have to go make it wider. And therefore, if you were to do this on Shabbos, since this lets air in and lets air out, so then that would be an issa d'oraisa. So therefore, the opinion of the Yeshomim is it not even be mosiv. How do we paskin? Dorish of Nachman, Yeshom of Yochanan, Rav Yochanan Darshan, the name of Rav Nachman Darshan, the name of Yochanan, Halacha ki Yeshomim. We paskin like the more machmir opinion that you're not allowed to even add on. Gemara continues and says, V'shavim shenokvim nekev yoshim d'chatchila. Everybody agrees that you're allowed to go and make a hole if there already was previously a hole there, had just been closed up. That's called reopening, and that's not called a new Pesach. That everybody agrees to. And Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Lo shanu ala b'mokum me'osu l'shamer. This is only true if it's in the barrel in a place where it's called l'shamer. Then we'll explain what that means in a moment. Rashi for now says it means the steam azu lo nasasel lishmo reya chayayin. The purpose of this plugging up is to just protect the aroma of the wine from getting let out. Shlo yetze, so it shouldn't go out. The skalkel, and the wine would be ruined as a result. V'kivin de lav stima ma'ayisa, since this is by definition a flimsy type of a seal that is made, lav klumhu, it doesn't count, and therefore you're allowed, according to everybody, to go and reopen such a flimsy type of a seal. However, if it's l'chazek, abo l'chazek, if this is, as Rashi says, shi'chazek ha'kli, it strengthens the kli, what does it mean? Shalot se'yeno, it's to protect the wine from coming out. So that's stima ma'ayisi, that's already a good plugging, and therefore, if you'd make a hole in that area, that would be like a brand new Pesach, that would be kiposeach l'chachila, and it would not be allowed. Therefore, avo l'chazek, the more it says, is usur. Now, hechidam l'shamer, hechidam l'chazik. Give me practical examples. Gemara says, what does it really mean, l'shamer, to protect the aroma from going out, the wine's nice smell from going out, and to protect the wine from going out? So we'll have a number of different interpretations. So Amar Rav Chissa says, l'mala means min hayayin. It means that your hole is above the wine line, where the wine goes up to. If the hole is above that, so then zeh l'shamer. That means it's only to preserve the aroma. But if it's below the level of the wine in the barrel, so then that's a good seal to prevent the wine from coming out. That's what Rav Chissa says. Rabba Amar, now that's the Girsa that we have. The Bach says that it should be Rabba. In any event, we'll just leave it as Rabba for now. Rabba says, Lamata min hayayin, nami zeh l'sham. He says, no, even below the level of the wine, that is also called just l'shamer. You're just preserving it, because it's not a lot of pressure. It's, you know, a little bit of weight of the wine above it, but not that much. Then what's the example? L'chazek, v'echidom l'chazek. He says that's when it's all the way at the bottom. It could go in shenikev l'matim in hashmorim, all the way down where the dregs are. And that means that the pressure of the entire barrel of wine, all the wine in the barrel, is going through that force down to the bottom where the hole is, and therefore that type of a hole better be sealed real well. So Rava says that the l'shamer is including any place in the barrel where there's regular wine, and l'chazek is when it's below the level of the dregs. And Amalei Abaye l'Rava, or Rabba, Abaye says to either Rava or Rabba, Tanya de Besailot, there's a braisa that says exactly like you. Baye is sosum, if you have a house that is sealed off its opening. Now, if a person is in a partnership, this is a Gemara that we learned in Bava Basra, that if a person is in a partnership with somebody else, so they share a yard, and then they decide to split their partnership, and each of them will take half the yard, so with every doorway you get 4 amos. With every Pesach, you're entitled to 4 amos. So in this situation, the person will be entitled to 4 amos, but what happens if it's closed off? So the Braisa says as follows, Bayis Sosum, if you have a house which previously had an entranceway into this courtyard, which they are now going to split, so how do they divide it up? How do you consider this closed-off entranceway? So it depends. If it was just bayis sosum, the Braisa says, so that yesh l'arba amos. If it's just closed off, but it hasn't been totally destroyed, then he does get his 4 amos. But paras es patzimah, but if it was destroyed, if the door of the entranceway here was totally taken down, you just have a sealed-off wall there, so then ain lo arba amos, then he's not entitled to anything. Likewise, if it was the whole house was bayis sosum, so the ain matame kol siva, then if you didn't remove the doorway, but you just had closed off the door, so you can't get in and out, but the doorway is still there, so then we consider this an exit, and ain matame kol siva, and we don't consider this house to be matame all around it. If there was a mace inside of it, so that it's matame, the dalet amos right next to it, just like a kever is matame in the area right next to it, because you may come to be mahil over that kever, so to over here, you may come within dalet amos of the house and touch something or be mile over something, and therefore it is considered that you are tomei if you're within dalet amos. But if there's an entranceway, then we assume you're going to go in and out through the entranceway, and then you're not matami all around it. But paras es patzimah, move again, the same thing over here. If the doorway was totally destroyed, you have no remnant left of the doorway, so then we consider this a closed kever, the equivalent of a sealed off coffin, and it's matami on the dalet amos all around it. So what do we see from over here? That you need to totally seal it off in order for it to be considered that it doesn't exist anymore. So to over here, with Rava or Rabba saying that the puncture at the bottom, for it to be considered l'chazek, it has to be all the way at the bottom. It has to be totally sealed off, except for the very bottom. That makes it into something that's l'chazek. So this is a raya that Abaye brings to either Rava or Rabba in his statement. The Gemara continues and says, Gufsa. What's Gufsa? Rashi explains, L'skoa kone chalul, to go and plug in a hollow type of a pipe or a reed, the neck of a chavis, into an existing hole in the chavis, shiotza yayin derech hakana. And this way the wine will go out through this kana. So are you allowed to do this gufsa on Shabbos? Rav asa, Rav says, no, you can't. Ushmul shari, Shmuel says you're allowed to. Now, what exactly is going on here? So the Gemara says, mechateich lechatchila, to go and cut this kana, to cut this reed, to have it serve lechatchila as this, like, spigot. So then, the kuliyamalo pligi the osir. Everybody would say, even Rav would say, even Shmuel would say that would be osir, because you're cutting it. So therefore, the kuliyamalo pligi the osir. And ahadure, to put an already existing kana that was already made right size for this hole, and it just came out, and to put it back in, so then the kuliyama lo pligi the shari. Even Rav would say that that's permissible. that's perfectly good. So the two extreme cases where it wasn't cut beforehand and you have to cut it now to make it to size, so everybody would say that that's osur, and where it was already cut to size beforehand and it just came out, you're allowed to put it back, everybody would say that. So where are Rav and Shmuel arguing? Keep ligi de chaticha velo misakna, where it was cut, so you're not talking about totally cutting the reed, but it wasn't properly formatted, it wasn't properly shaped into the exact right size to fit into the hole. So therefore, man dios, according to Rav, who says you're not allowed to go and do this, Gazrina, the rabbi said, dilma osi lemichtach lechatchila, if we let you do this with the one that's already cut, you may come to cut one. And therefore, Rav said it's a gzera the rabbanon that you can't do it. Uman the Shari, according to Shmuel, said you're allowed to. The rabbis never made such a great gzera. Lo gazrina. Rabbis didn't feel this was a dover shchiyach. This was a likely thing to occur. And therefore, if you already had it cut, even though you didn't format it exactly to make sure that it fits into the size of the hole, you're allowed to put it in lechatchila on Shabbos. This machlokus between Rav and Shmuel, the Gemara says, is actually machlokus tanoim ketanoi. What's that? It says in the Braisa, in chotchin shofoferis biyontif. You're not allowed to go and cut a tube, like we just said, the shofoferis, this pipe, you're not allowed to cut it on yontif. In tzarech lomar b'shabbos, if you can't cut it on yontif, when you have a whole bunch of heterim for ocha nefesh, so you certainly can't cut it on Shabbos. Now, nofla, if it came out, however, so the gears that we have is with parentheses with the word ein, but it's incorrect. We shouldn't be reading the word ein. Noflo, so then, machzirin also b'shabbos. Even if it fell out on Shabbos, you'll have to put it back in, and alach haskam v'kama, v'in tzorach lomi, you don't have to tell me, on yontif you can put it back in. That was the opinion of the Tanakama in this brisa. Rav Yoshia meiko. Rav Yoshia says you're allowed to. He's meiko. Now, what is he going on? Rav Yoshia, hi. Which part of this brisa is Rav Yoshia going on? Ilei ma reish, if it's going on the first part, so that doesn't make any sense. Hoko misakin mana. How can you say you're allowed to go and do this? You can cut a tube. Who says you're allowed to do that? That can't be what Rav Yoshia was meiko on. You're not letting go and do that. That's misakin mana. That's definitely fixing, making this over here into a real, live, valid vessel, which you're not allowed to do. So Ella must be a sefer. The Rav Yoshia's statement is going on the sefer, but the Tanakama said you can be making on the sefer. Machzirin also b'Shabbos v'Enzorch l'mar b'Yontif. So I don't understand. So the Tanakama also lets you do it. So how can he be makel when the Tanakama was also makel? So Tanakama nami mishri koshari. The Tanakama lets you put it back in. So what's going on? So the Gemara says, ah, that's exactly it. Ella, we're talking here. The chaticha, it was cut, velo misakna ikubinayu. So the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rav Yoshia is exactly the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. That in this situation, the Tanakama says, Mara sova gazrina, that the rabbis were concerned, if we let you put it back in the hole, so then you may come next time to cut it. So therefore, you can't do this. Well, Mara sova, Rav Yoshia says, no, lo gazrina, the rabbis didn't make such a decree. So therefore, Rav Yoshia holds like Shmuel, and the Tanakama holds like Rav, and Dorish Rav Shisha Breid Ravidi Mishmei Rav Yochanan Rav Shisha Breid Ravidi Paskin Dovia in the name of Rav Yochanan Halachic Rav Yoshia. The halacha is like the makel opinion of Rav Yoshia, like Shmuel, that a person is allowed to go and put in this tube lechatchila in the first place, even though it wasn't measured perfectly, it wasn't formatted perfectly, because we don't make a gzera that if we let you do this, you'll come to go cut it. This is like the opinion of Yoshia, and this is like the opinion of Shmuel. Now we quote the Mishnah. It says V'hoisam Nekuva V'chule. If the barrel already had a hole in it and you wanted to go and plug it up, you weren't allowed to go and use it with wax. Shmuel says, what about mishcha, oil, using some sort of thick oil? That's not wax, so can you do this? We're not as concerned about memachek, memarek, so can you do it or not? So we have a machlokas. Again, another machlokas is Rav Ushmuel. Rav Osar, Rav says you can't, Ushmuel Shari. Shmuel says that you're allowed to go and do this. Now, man di Osar, gazrin mishum shaiva. According to Rav, who says you can't do this, because if we let you do this, you may come to do it with shaiva, and then you have the problem of memarek. Well, man di Shari, Shmuel says, no, lo gazrin, the rabbi didn't think that this was a situation to make such a gzera. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Chana l'Rav Yosef. Rav Shmuel, the son of Bar Chana, said to Rav Yosef, "What's the locha? The Ferish Amrislan Mishmei the Rav Mishcha Shari." No, I have a different approach here. I have that Rav was not osirit. I have that Rav said it was mutter, just like we have that Shmuel says it. He had the girsa that Rav said it was mutter also. Now the Gemara continues and says, Amar Tovus Rishba. Tovus was the name of the person, and Rishba means he was a trapper. So Tovus Rishba, Tovus the trapper, said in the name of Shmuel. He must have been Talmud Chacham. He said in the name of Shmuel. Hi, Tarfa, the Asa, these leaves of an Asa, of a myrtle. So Asa, you're not allowed to go put them in to the hole inside the barrel, and it's going to end up allowing the wine to go flow in or to flow out. You're not allowed to do that. So Shmuel says, why not? My time up. So Rabbi Yemer Difti Yomar. So Rabbi Yemer from Difti said the following reason. The rabbis made Gzeira Mishum Marzev. This looks too much like you're making a gutter. And therefore, if you're making a gutter, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos or Yontif. So therefore, you're not allowed to go put in this myrtle leaf because it looks too much like a gutter. Alternatively, Rav Ashi is a different reason. Rav Ashi Amar Gzeira Shema Yiktom. The concern that the rabbis had is also Gzeira, but if we let you do this, when you don't have this, you may come to cut it off. Now, we're not talking about doing an Issa Daraisa of cutting it off from a tree that already that wasn't cut, because that the rabbis didn't make such a concern that a person would go and pluck it off from a tree. But they were concerned that you had it already from a branch that had already been cut off from the tree, that you would go take another one and do this. And that would be Masakin Mona, and that you're not allowed to do. So therefore, that's the Machlokas. Rav Yemer of Difti said Gzeira Mishum Marzev, and Rav Ashi said Gzeira Mishum Yiktom. Knew, is there a difference? Both of them said it's not allowed. My Benai, what's the difference between them? So the Gemara says, Yikub Benai, there's a difference. Dekotim Umanche, where you already have leaves that are cut off from the branch, and therefore you aren't concerned that you're going to pluck any more, that you're going to cut off any more. So according to Rav Ashi, then it would be permissible, but according to the Gzeira Mishum Marzev, so then it still would not be allowed. Where it now begins a new subject, which the Rabbeinu Hananel says is really connected. If you look at the Rabbeinu Hananel, it's three lines on the bottom, four lines on the bottom. He says, Ein ze makomo. This is not really the place for this coming discussion that we're going to have it. However, El Bishvil, Shehizkir, Hashmos, Shecholak ben Rav, where Rav was Osar and Shmuel was Shari, so Nosva Bigrora. Since we just had two cases where Rav was more Machmir than Shmuel, and Rav was also something and Shmuel was Matirid, so therefore this is also an example where Rav was Osar and Shmuel was Shari. That's what Rabbeinu Hananel says this next piece of Gemara is brought over here, but it has nothing to really do with the previous Gemara. In any event, Beisadja. Beisadja is a certain type of felt. Rashi says Levadin felt, Shikorin felt. The Asuyin Lekaflon Tachtov, B'mokom Hakar or Kesses. The people fold it underneath where they put their pillow or their blanket and use it in that fashion. But here we're talking about Rav saying, Osa, you're not allowed to wear this as a garment and carry it, because even though you're wearing it, it's not really a garment. And Shmuel Shari says, if you're wearing it in this fashion, then it's allowed. As Rashi says, L'havio derech malbush derech rishus harabim. Rav forbade you to go and bring it as a garment, because shumu'utabo, even though you're wearing it, it's not considered something that you wear. And Shmuel says, no, you're allowed to. What's exactly going on? So if we're dealing berachin, if we're dealing with very soft pieces of felt, so then in this situation, as Rashi says, shadarkun l'schamim behen, people normally use soft felt to keep themselves warm. So therefore, tukuliyam alopligi, the shari, that would be allowed. That's a garment. People put this on as a sweater. People put this on as a garment to keep them warm. And if it's very, very hard, bikashin, so then certainly nobody would wear this. The kuliyama lo pligi the osir. Both Rav and Shmuel would say in this situation, you're not allowed to go and wear this because it's not something that people wear. So here's again an example where Rav and Shmuel disagree. Ki pligi b'metziyah. They disagree in the intermediate, middle type of a case. Man di osar mechzei kemasri. According to Rav, it says it still looks like a burden for a person to go carry this. And therefore, to wear this. It looks like he's carrying it, not like he's wearing it. But according to Shmuel, he says, no, since this is wearable, so Mistama, the guy is wearing it and not carrying it. Agmar says, this statement that Rav made, that it's also wasn't explicitly stated by Rav. The Rav, he didn't specifically state this. They inferred it from what Rav said. They said, this must be Rav's opinion. Why? Because the Rav ikla lahau asra. Rav once came to a certain place, the Lohavale Ravacha, and there wasn't enough room for everybody to sit down in this place. Mr. Number, Rav was going to give a shir, and there wasn't enough room for everybody to go and sit down, so a lot of people had to stand. But there wasn't enough room even for people to stand over there or sit over there, so what did Rav do? Nothing. He left, and Yosef Bekarmelis, he went and sat in a nearby Carmelis. Isolated Besadja, so he went to sit over there, so they quickly brought him some felt over here to sit on. They brought him this Besadja. Now, how did they get it there? It's in a Carmelis. They wore it. And lo Yosef, and he didn't sit on it. So, man de chaza, somebody who saw this, saw that he must have held that Mishum de Besadja also. Oh, Rav holds you're not allowed to have carried over there by wearing it. So he felt that that was called carrying, that it's not called wearing it. And therefore, he didn't want to benefit from this carrying that was done on his behalf. And that's why we said, they saw this Maisa, and they assumed that that was Rav's reasoning. But in fact, that was incorrect. That's not why Rav didn't sit on this. He would have been happy to sit on it, because he felt that this was possibly a perfectly normal way to go and wear this garment. So therefore, why didn't Rav sit on it? Because the Gemara says, the Rav, achruze machris beisad yeshore. Because in fact, we know that Rav felt that you're allowed to go and wear such a type of felt, this intermediate, middle type of a felt. So why didn't he sit on it? Because of the code, covered of the other Rabbeim that were there, he didn't want to sit on such a cushion when they didn't have such a cushion to sit on. And who are these other Tamidim? Oman Ninu, who are these other Tamidim Chachamim? So they were his Tamidim, Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, who had reached the stage of being Tamidim Chaverim with Rav, and therefore both of them were great Tamidim Chachamim, and he didn't want to be sitting on a cushion without them having a cushion as well. So therefore, that's why he didn't sit on it, not because it was a problem of wearing this that was really carrying, according to Rav. In fact, Rav held just like Shmuel in this situation, that this intermediate, middle type of felt was allowed to be worn. It was soft enough that a person would wear it, and it's not a problem of carrying. Next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Nosim tashel usocha bor, bishul shei shomer. You're allowed to go and put a cooked dish inside a bor in order that it should be protected. It should stay nice and fresh. Gemara will say, pshita, it's obvious. Why would you not be able to? Gemara says, v'esamayim ayofim b'rayim, you'll have to put good water that you have and put it in dirty, bad water. So you have it in a bottle. You're obviously not pouring it in, otherwise it'll get mixed. So you have a bottle of this good water and you put it into a bad water body of water. Why? So it should cool off. You're putting it into the ground, into this lake, and this lake will cool off the water, which is what you want. So you're allowed to do this. It's not a problem. Moral again, ask, pshita, why would you think you're not allowed to? And finally, the Mishnah says, v'esatzonein, you'll have to take cold water and put it b'chama, in the sun, b'fushayichamu, and you'll have to put it out in the sun in order that it should get warmer. That's not called bishul. In cooking by sun, that's not called bishul. That's the first part of the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah says, Mishinoshu kei lo b'derech b'mayim, the person got his clothing wet while he was traveling on the road, so what should he do? Mahalik ben, he's allowed to wear that wet clothing. It fell into the water. He's allowed to wear that. Ve'nochoshes, and there's no concern that people are going to think that, ooh, he must have done his laundry on Shabbos, and that's why he's wearing wet clothing. However, as soon as he reaches the first place where he can go and put the clothing down, so then he's allowed to, he doesn't want to wear the wet clothing, he's allowed to take it off and spread it out so it will dry off in the sun. However, he shouldn't do this in a public way, have a low kineged arm, because they'll suspect that he washed them on Shabbos and now he's drying them. So therefore, he's not allowed to do this in a public way. The Gemara will have a lot of discussion about this. Let's start with the Gemara. First of all, the Gemara says, why can't you go and put this tavshil into the bar? Gemara says, pshita, of course you can. What's the habamina to think that you can't? So Gemara says, no, there is a habamina. Mal dutema, I might have thought, nigzor mishum ashve gumos. When you put it into this bar, so this bar is a dirt bottom, and maybe you put it in the bottle, and you're going to want to smooth out the bottom so that the bottle doesn't tip over. So therefore, you might have thought that you're not allowed to put it there because of ashve gumos. You may come to smooth out the bottom of this bar to make sure that the bottle that you're putting in there is nice and upright and doesn't tip over. Kamash v'lan. So the chiddush of the Mishnah is, no, that's not a concern. You're allowed to do this. We're not worried about ashve gumos. Likewise, you said, you're allowed to take a bottle of good water and put it into the cold, bad water that it should cool off. Gemara says again, pshita, what's the sin? What's the potential problem over here that you have to tell me that you're allowed to do this? Of course you can, pshita. Gemara says, you're right, there's no chiddush over here, but safe with strichale. The next case was the chiddush, and you can take cold water and put it in the sun. That's not called heating it up. Gemara says, hanami pshita, we know already that the sun is not considered a problem with heating things up in the sun. It's only fire that is a problem with heating things up. So pshita as well over here, hanami pshita. Gemara says, no, this is not pashut. Ma'alutem, I might have said, nigzar, we have to here make a gzera de rabbanim, that you're not allowed to put the cold water in the sunlight. Why? Dilma osik liatmune beremetz. Because if we lie and put it in the sun, so it's not going to maybe heat up fast enough for you, and you may end up doing an act of hatmana by putting it in some ashes, latmune beremetz, to put it in ashes. Ooh, that would already be a problem. And therefore, in this situation, that would be something that would be aser. So therefore, kamash v'lan, the Mishnah has to tell us, no, you're allowed to put it outside in the sun. We're not concerned that then you'll come to put it in warm ashes. Gemara quotes the Mishnah, it says, Mishinishu chule, if your clothing got wet. So we said, you're allowed to go and continue walking with them. You don't have to be concerned that people are going to suspect you of having done your laundry on Shabbos. Amar Yudah Marav, komokum shashu chachamim ne marazayin. We have a general rule that Rav Yehuda said, name of Rav. Wherever there was a concern of Ma'ariv Sayyid, that people will be choshed you for something, so then, even if it's not in public, afilu b'chadri chador, maser, you're not allowed to do it even in private. Now, our Mishnah seemed to go against that. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah said, Shodchon b'chama, you're allowed to go spread it out in the sun. But not in public, because then people suspect that you washed on Shabbos and now you're drawing it. But that implies that you're allowed to do it in private. But how come Rav holds that you're not allowed to do it in private? Rav's going against our Mishnah. Shemor says, you're right. This is, in fact, Machlokas Tanoim. Tanoihi. Rav holds like a different Tana. Even though we say to Rav, Tana Upali, but here we don't like to say that unless we have no choice. And here we have Rav holding like a different Tana. And our Mishnah holds like the other Tana. Tanayi, this is Machlokas Tanoim. The Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Shotel Mechama. The first opinion in the Braisa says you're allowed to go spread out the wet clothing in the sun. Avolo Kineged Om, just like our Mishnah. The first opinion in the Braisa is like our Mishnah. But then along comes Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and their Osrin. Oh, Rav holds like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, that say that you're not allowed to go and do this even b'chadri chadorim, even in private, because we have Rav's rule that anything that the rabbis prohibited in public because of Maris Ayin, so then even in private, you're not allowed to go and do it. Mark continues and says, I'm Rav Huna. Rav Huna says the following, we turn to the Amud Aleph. Haminair taliso b'Shabbos. If somebody shakes out his talis from the dirt, Rashi says, min ha'ofer on Shabbos, so he's chay v'chatos. This is, Rashi says, dezeu libuna. This is called laundering. This is called whitening it, cleaning it, and you're not allowed to shake off your clothing on Shabbos. Morris says, but wait, don't jump the gun over here. Below Amar, we only said dezeu b'chanti. If this was a brand new garment where a person is very concerned about having any schmutz on it, and therefore if he shakes off the dust, he would only do this for a new garment. Abu Batiki, with an old garment, less laba. Nobody really gets so excited about an older garment, has a little bit of dust on it, so therefore this isn't called libun by shaking it off. And furthermore, this is only on a black garment, which would be noticeable, I guess, any flecks of dirt. However, but if it's a white garment, or a red-colored garment, so then it's not such a big deal. Also, if it has a little bit of schmutz on it, a little bit of dust on it, less lumbar. Nobody would be that upset. Therefore, it's not something that we would call libun on Shabbos. And in addition, it has to be v'hu. Even with a new black garment, it has to be something that you care about. But if you don't care about it, as Rashi says, Leloshon Achi Narim, you wouldn't let bother you that you'd wear it without shaking it off. So then you're allowed to go and wear it without, you're allowed to shake it off. That's not considered a problem. Maisa Shoya, that's exactly what happened. Ula Ikla Pumpadisa. Ula once came to the city of Pumpadisa. And what happened? Chazor Rabbanon, he saw that the rabbis, the Komenavtse Glimayu, that they were going and shaking off their cloaks. And he said, you're not allowed to do that. Omar Kamachali Rabbanon Shabbasa. So Ula said to the rabbis, hey, you all be Machal Shabbos. After all, didn't we learn that if a person is menar talisa b'shabbos, he's chayv v'chatas? So how can you do this? So Rav Yehuda, who was the rav in the town of Pumpadisa, Amalu Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda said to all the people, nefutze le'biape, shake to your heart's content, shake it right in front of his face. Even if he's watching you, you're allowed to go and shake it ba'ape, even in his face. In other words, Ula is wrong. Why is that? Anan lo kaptina midi, because we don't care. In our town, nobody cares if they have a little dust on this. So if you would not care about it on a weekday, so then you don't have to care about it on a Shabbos as well. Lo kaptina, as Rashi says, lo ich patlon, im yesh la avak, hilkuch lav libanu. Since we don't care about this, it's not considered libun. Where it says similarly, Abaye havikoi come in to Rav Yosef. Abaye once went to Rav Yosef, and Omalei, Rav Yosef said to him, havli kumsai. Give me my kumsai. Kumsai, Rashi says, is a kova, his hat. He says, give me my hat. Now, Chazor, Abaye saw, Rav Yosef was blind, and Abaye saw, Chazor, the Ika, Tala, Ole. He saw that there was a little bit of dew on it, but he was afraid to shake it off. He thought you're not allowed to shake it off. Therefore, he didn't want to give it to him. As Rashi says, Loshon Lo Sachsom, like Lo Sachsom Shor B'disho. He didn't want to give it to him. He was muzzled. He didn't want to give it to him. He was muzzled to give it to him. He was afraid to. So Rav Yosef saw that he wasn't going to give it to him. So Rav Yosef said to him, what are you worried about? That there's a little bit of dew on it? Nefut, shake it off. Shaday, get rid of it. No problem. Anan, we, in our town over here, lo kaptino midi, we don't care about something like this. A little dust, a little dew, no problem. Nishkeferlach. And therefore, you can go and shake it off. With this, we conclude today's shir.